them all. We can begin by chanting the Metta Sutta, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety. May all beings be happy, whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, or meeting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated and lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to false views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. Okay. Okay. I hope everyone's warm enough now. The heat is chugging along. We've got our little cave in the forest here. One nice thing about the rain is it sort of acts as a bit of white noise, so you could just be sitting in a cave in the forest somewhere, and that's very nice and peaceful as well. So, it's been quite a busy few days, and sometimes I get a bit burdened with duties, and that's okay. I know in the Metta Sutta it says, you know, we're better if we're not burdened by duties. Busy with duties, I think, is a better translation, but. I think it's just, if that comes along, then it's good to take a bit of time, sit down and enjoy a bit of peace and quiet, and regain some of that energy that you get from meditation, and just to cultivate that metta, that feeling of loving kindness to all beings. Just feel a bit tired and anxious today, so it's good at the end of a day to have that refuge of the practice. So to have that regular practice is in a way of being an island to yourself, a refuge to yourself. That whatever difficulties you have, you've got that sort of backstop of practice to make life a bit easier. So Ntuti's still away with his family for the moment, so I'm doing the Monday night group again, and it's been really good. We've been able to get by without him, which I think he'll be happy about, because it means he can take holidays sometimes, and when he gets back, I'll go spend a few days with my family as well. And within another few moments, suddenly we'll hit the Rains Retreat. So that's the 3-month period. Oh dear, you're gonna miss us, Bob. Never mind. There'll be time to come down and say hello. So the Rains Retreat is actually it's a good time for a monk. It's also possibly some of the most difficult times for a monk, because the practice at that time is we've got 3 months, and we put down Ajahn Santuti's promised we put down our projects. I don't know how far we'll get with this, but the great monk Buddhadasa said once at the beginning of the Rains Retreat, and he was building the big hall, and they got to the beginning of the Rains Retreat, and he just had the monastery down tools. And someone comes up to him and says, sir, when will it be finished? And he says, what's done is finished. That's it, you just put it down. So if we're halfway through the renovation of our shrine, then I'm sure the Buddha would be very, very happy to know that we're spending our time meditating and cultivating the shrine of the mind, the inner space that's so important. But knowing Santuti, he'll probably race to get it done, just like he did the floor at Jhana Grove. I hear every retreat, Ajahn Brahm reminds everyone of Ajahn Santuti's efforts on that night to... Jhana Grove was almost finished, and there was going to be a retreat, I think, the next day. And the main meditation hall at Jhana Grove was almost done, but half the floor was not done. So he was in there with glue guns and floorboards, and I think him and the boys were there till, I think it was just boys, because it's a mountain monastery, but I'm sure the girls would have helped as well if they were there. Just worked until about 3 in the morning or something like that. I haven't got the exact time right, but I'll ask him. But so we may see some... If you see any lights in here at midnight, it'll be Santuti finishing off the shrine before the rains are true. It's a really lovely time. So we'll probably spend a couple of days a week just doing some cleaning around the monastery, and making sure it's nice and presentable for visitors who come. You're all welcome to come for the meal each day. I have to say sorry, the Monday night group will have to cease for while we go off and practice what we preach, basically. And it's good because after we've had our time to deepen our practice, we become better teachers, and that makes these classes even more beneficial. And we have lots of time for ourselves. We'll probably have our meal as usual, and some breakfast or something, and maybe some tea in the evening, but most of the time we'll be alone and just in our rooms meditating, basically. And that's not always easy, so you do feel a real change after 3 months of the Rains Retreat. So wish us luck. But in the meantime, we've got a few more classes, so it's good for you all to come out, and it's crazy weather. It's dropped below 10 degrees already out there. Someone's had the heater on, which is good. We enjoy this little cave of warmth and nice and quiet as well. All good. All good. So, does anyone have any questions about anything at all? About the Rains Retreat or about practice or anything like that? It's good. It's good. It's good that you all came out tonight. And in terms of practice tonight, I just encourage you all to relax and, in particular, just develop that contentment.
I presume there's always study to do, isn't there? You're not going
I
to
think.
To study.
Well, I suppose. I know Ajahn Brahm encourages his monks to focus on the meditation, especially for someone who does a lot of study outside the rains, then it's probably a good idea just to put the books away.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't study as well. You just
My plan this rains is to read the suttas in the Majjhima Nikaya again. So Majjhima Nikaya is the translated as the middle length discourses by Bhikkhu Bodhi. And what is it? There's 152 suttas in there of middle length. Which means, I don't know, maybe half an hour reading or something like that. Maybe a little bit more, depending on the length of the sutta. So if I go through two suttas a day, I can probably read the entire thing in, before the end of the rounds. So, I haven't read the Majjhima Nikaya for a while, but it's a good one to sit down and go over again, because there's a lot of... both stories and also some of the great deep teachings in there as well. So, so I'll do a bit of reading, but the main focus is the meditation. But of course, there's always time on any retreat where you need to sort of take a break, go for a walk or something. I'm curious to see what the Canning River's looking like now with all the recent rain. Go down for a walk and probably get nice and muddy. The idea is just to do as little as possible. Ajahn Brahm's his emphasis on a combination of service and solitude. So we spend a lot of time helping out, teaching and all the stuff that you have to do as a monk. But also there's that time when you can just enjoy being by yourself. Bring some time into your practice, whether it's easy or not. And it's all worthwhile in the end.
I've got my arm running around in my head now.
I mentioned that there. Hello. Yeah.
So where'd you go for your retreat? Like, where'd you hibernate to?
Ah, that bedroom there.
Also, it's outside here.
Yeah, for now, myself and Santuti and Sukakama were all... Living around the Bihara here, around the house here, but we have a project next door. We're renovating. We plan to renovate the old stables over there. That'll be like five bedrooms there, but it'll be away from sort of the central area here. We plan to make the rooms quite well insulated, both in terms of especially in terms of sound. So it should be nice and quiet there.
Exciting,
yeah. I just got to grind through all the paperwork and making calls and emails and all that sort of stuff. But hopefully it'll work out. Still waiting on the bushfire attack level report. So bit of fun. So it's kind of stressful and lots of work, but it's okay. There's always a plan B. Always a plan B. It is worth mentioning, for those who haven't heard it, that Ajahn Brahm, my teacher, just received he is now a member of the Order of Australia. So with the Queen's Honours List yesterday, he was there, that's really good, that's pretty cool. So we're not sure whether they call him Sir now or not, but Sir Ajahn Brahm, so I think it has a nice ring to it, so we'll call him that anyway. it's all good. All good. We seem to be, we all seem to be making a lot of progress as a community. Bob was just telling me about Moodoo's plans. Peter's going to drive him down to Albany for the rains. So he'll be down there by the the cliffs above the Southern Ocean. Good luck. Him and our good friend Rob Warburton will be there as well. So they're going to establish a new monastery down there too. So there'll be eventually, hopefully, a few places for monks to hop around and visit new places and sort of thing.
Harris Park in Sydney?
Harris Park? What's happening in Harris Park?
The monastery at the end of the world.
Oh, that one. Yeah, Sajan Sujata and his doomsday cult. No, he's a little bit obsessed with climate change, but that's okay. I understand. I heard from Jan that Akalika was actually at the nine-day retreat with Anubra Bali. So, Akalika is a junior monk. He's living with Ajahn Sujata at their apartment monastery, which he called the monastery at the end of the world, which is a sci-fi reference, I think. Yes. If you know, it's Guide to the Galaxy. Yes.
Restaurant at the end of the universe.
Yes. But that was good. Good to see. I got a hi from Akalika anyway, so I had to send him a hi back. Okay, so now is the time to enjoy our little cave here in the forest. Almost primal, isn't it? Yeah. Sitting in your cave with the rain pitter pattering down. Okay. There we go. So, take it easy. So, please just take a few moments, as always. To relax the body and any aches and pains, and just have a bit of metta towards this old body. If anything's tight, you can loosen it. If anything's too loose, you can tighten it. If you need to scratch, you can scratch. Just remind yourself for the next half hour or so, the most important thing is contentment. Just to be here, relaxed, and remember, this is good enough. This is good enough. imagine yourself like one of those old monks in the time of the Buddha. The rain coming down outside the cave. The monks staying warm inside together. Just being content. Right now, you got no duties, nothing to do. And the natural consequence of that is having metta, being kind to yourself. Having kindness for others. And be content enough to let the future be. That whole world outside this room, whatever it will be, is none of your business. contentment. This is good enough. This is good enough. Feel the muscles in your body melting like candle wax. Just drooping down onto your chair, onto your cushion. And just have that kindness to yourself. I deserve to be at ease. And just take it easy. Just get so peaceful, so calm. You could just sit here all night till dawn comes. Nothing to do. Just remind yourself, most important thing is to be content. However this present moment is. So we're coming to the end of the meditation. Always remember, it's never perfect, but always worthwhile. So, I'll ring the gong 3 times. Please wait to the very end to come out for your meditation. I'm in charge of dawn. Dawn breaks outside a little cave. Good fun. While I was sitting here, I was just along with meditating and leading the meditation, just contemplating my teacher, Ajahn Brahm. And I'm very impressed with his latest addition to to his title. But I was just reflecting on how trustworthy an individual he is. He might be on good terms with the Queen, but I've never heard him support this or that political party or anything like that. I mean, he got his award for, in particular, for the ordination of the bhikkhunis, the reigniting of the female sangha in Australia. And that might have. Might have caused a bit of discord, but at the same time, it's never his intention. Never his intention. Such a good teacher. Anyway, thought I'd share that. Yeah, you always know when you talk to Ajahn Brahm, you say, I'm thinking of going out and killing all the monks with my axe. It's like, yeah, very good, Jack. Very good, very good. a very unjudgmental being. So I hope he has a good rains retreat this year. I mean, he has to work the hardest of us all. He'll be teaching all of these budding new monks. Bodhnyana is very much a teaching monastery there, and he's got the most of the workload. But it's good. I feel kind of good that I've come here and spent. I spent all the time since the last rains here. I came here on the day after the rains last year. So, almost. By the end of the rains, it'll be a full year, and that's a year that a new monk has a chance to practice at Bodhnyana and learn a few tricks. So that's all good. Me and Santuti seem to be, and Rob and Jan and. Good come up. We seem to be getting along well. It's quite a nice vibe here. I think should be a nice little period for us. Not too much work for any of us really, so that's good. We can enjoy the benefits of a small community. Hey Bob,
how long did it take you to be able to meditate successfully on your own?
Define successfully.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? So, it's always a gradual training, you know. It's always, it's never one day it's easy. It's, you asked me to go back a fair way now. I mean, I just had my my birthday just over a week ago on the 2nd of June, and unfortunately for me, it actually made me forget my other anniversary, which is the 1st of June, which is my 10-year anniversary as a monk, as a fully ordained monk. I had my ordination in 2009 on the 1st of June. For those who don't know, we've got a novice ordination as well. We usually spend about a year as a novice as well. But when Bob asked that question, I'm trying to think back. I'm like, what was my meditation like, 10, 12 years ago? It's very hard to think about. There was no great leap where it suddenly became easy to meditate. It's just this gradual process of. Just letting things go, just gradually being able to relax, gradually being able to be content with whatever's happening. Not to sort of hold yourself up to a yardstick and say, this is good meditation, this is where I'm at compared to that. I heard this great phrase. I read this great phrase by this lady hacker, maker, hardware geek. She's very cool. I can't remember her last name, but she had this great great phrase. She said, "If you want to travel, if you want to travel fast, travel alone. If you want to travel far, travel with others." So I think that's kind of what having a sangha is all about. What having this whole movement of Buddhism is all about being with our Kalyana Mettas. So another phrase from the suttas is where Ananda says to the Buddha, he says, I think half of this holy life is good friendship. And the Buddha said, no. The whole of the holy life is good friendship. So when you come to a group like this, you know, it's pretty low key here. We don't do a lot of, I don't come to the suttas all that much, and it's a fairly easygoing sort of somewhat secular group here, but just to have that group of friends you can get together with and practice together like tonight, that's how you make progress, I think. I guess the other side of it is if you do feel that your practice is going very well, especially as a monk. You know, I know a lot of the monks at well, most of the monks at Bodhinyana will have their fortnight retreat. So the Buddhist calendar is sort of divided up according to the moon days. So between one moon day and the next is 14 or 15 days. So most of the monks will take a retreat, and they'll be in their hut by themselves. Someone might bring their food to them. They don't have any chores. They don't have anything to do. So for that sort of 14 days, they can. They can travel alone, they can travel fast, hopefully not go crazy. it's that wonderful thing. It's so encouraging when you get to the monastery as an anagarika and you hear someone say, "Don't worry, it gets easier." It's easier to be a novice than an anagarika. It's easier to be a monk than a novice, and yeah, over time the practice does get easier in a gradual way. Yeah. So, does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did you see the picture of Ajahn Brahm? It made him look 50 years younger.
Oh, is that the sort of hazy one through the branches sort of one? Yeah, I saw that. Well, as soon as I found out because he emailed me on a matter of business, but then he mentioned the old Order of Australia. I think he's quite chuffed about that. So the first thing I did was to get onto Google News and look for an article on it. And they did have a page on the ABC about the various people. Apparently, there's some Aboriginal footballer who's I've never heard of, but go him. Number of other people, but yeah, you got the picture of Ajahn Brahm there, and yes, they've tried to make him look a bit younger, perhaps.
Very much so.
They probably got a very talented cameraman to go out, or cameraman to go out there and take a picture.
They photoshopped it.
Oh, they photoshopped it. Why not? Why not photoshop things? Yeah. Good on Ajahn Brahm. We're talking about today. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, the other thing that came up when I did a search for Ajahn Brahm is kindfulness.
Yeah,
and it popped up in the I think it was the Daily Mail in the UK papers. So it's now a thing. It's a thing now. Kindfulness. there was a psychologist that they interviewed he'd written a book or something, and he said, "Oh yeah, yeah. It does make you cringe a bit, but it's actually very good for you psychologically to practice metta." Basically, it's just being kind to other people and cultivating that feeling is actually very healthy.
Why don't they just say metta?
Well, it's a Pali word. Not everyone knows their Pali.
I guess.
So,
but it wouldn't take a moment to pick it up.
That's right. We'll educate all of the Daily Mail's readers in the in Pali.
So it just takes time. Just meditate on your own? And
yeah, I mean, the daily practice, if you can. You're going to miss some days. That's just part of the course. Even monks miss a day now and again. I don't know. From my perspective as a Buddhist monk, I have some sort of faith in the life, in the idea of multiple lives and so forth. And maybe the glacial pace of change is not so hard to bear when I think that I might be able to pick it up again next life. But it does. But I have noticed, over 10 years, there's a real change in the mind. Having had that practice every day, it really has changed. It's probably rewired all my neurons. I don't know. My delta waves are pumped along. I don't know what's going on in my brain, but totally something seems to have changed. And tonight, in a very practical way, coming up against a bit of anxiety, it's like, I've got to teach, feeling anxious, what do I do? And very much my practice now is just have that metta, have that kindness for yourself, and that actually works quite well. One thing that can be a real problem with anxiety is it morphs into ill will as well. You get angry, and you're like, why do I have to do this? I just want to be alone or whatever. And if you can overcome that, and just have that metta come through, it's not so bad. So that's something I've dealt with over the years. It's changed. The mind has changed. The brain probably has changed. They haven't put me in a MRI lately, so I don't know. But there was a guy. What's his name? Giles. I can't remember his last name. He's in New South Wales. He's a good supporter of pretty much everything. So a very big supporter of Ajahn Sujato. He's got a house in, was it not Glebe, Annandale, I stayed there once when I was in town. And
you're not talking about a former premier, are you?
No, that's Jeff Gallen.
Yeah.
This is a guy called Giles. Giles, I can't remember his last name, but he did say to me, give another 10, 20 years, and I'm sure someone's going to want to. He's a psychologist, by the way, practicing psychologist. He said, sooner or later, someone's going to want to scan your brain.
Yeah.
Put you in a CT scanner and see what's happened.
Well, come to Club Med, and Catherine will arrange it all for you.
Club Med? At Armidale? Catherine does that.
Catherine Jules.
Yeah, I'm not that. Maybe one day, I don't know. It's a funny thought. Never actually thought of it actually happening, but it does seem that whether you believe in many lives or not, that psychologically and probably physiologically too, the process of meditation has an effect, and more the better, really, to a point. Okay, it's 8 o'clock. I've done my job.
Thank you.
It's nice with a bit of a small crowd tonight. Is anyone here for the first time tonight? Welcome, Tom. Yeah, Paula said there was a new person tonight. There's another JR night. So thank you all. Okay. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, and guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of Death, may those who are friendly, indifferent or hostile,
may all
receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless, through the goodness that arises from my practice, and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease, and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana in every kind of birth. May I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Trust is the protection of the Dharma. The solitary Buddha is my noble lord. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all these, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Have a great night, everyone, and stay warm. Rug up.